Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, Monday, September 23rd, 2013. Hope you had a great weekend. We have waited so long for a nice, cool morning like the one we enjoyed today. After all, it has been a long, hot summer in Arizona. So hot, Phoenix had its hottest summer on record, and here in Tucson, the second hottest summer on record. So that cool air felt so good. Buckmaster, we are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we're streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we're podcasting to buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. We'll get things rolling down the track on this Monday afternoon. Jeff Rogers is here, and Bruce Ash with our Monday political face-off. Lots to discuss with these two gentlemen today. Followed at 12:30 with a preview of Tucson Modernist Week. Damian Klinko joins us. He heads up the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes, heads up the Tucson Planetary Science Institute. If you have a comment or question, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. And or we invite you to join us on Facebook. We're easy to find. It's Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. We invite you to be a friend of the show. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. Our team of commentators today, Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Jeff Rogers, Tucson attorney and former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff and Bruce, I hope you both had a great weekend.
Thank you. I did.
I had a nice time, rode my horse both days, and really had an enjoyable ride.
You could really feel it this morning, the cool air, couldn't you?
Yeah, and the same thing for the weekend. I got up, you know, around 6 to ride, and both days it was beautiful.
1 week from tomorrow, the federal government, Bruce Ash, runs out of money. The government, the House, has passed a spending bill that will keep government running, but will defund Obamacare. The Senate's considering similar legislation this week. Bruce, the reality is Obamacare probably is not going to be defunded. You would admit that?
No, I think you go through the political process. There are lots of people, including people in the Republican Party, who share your view of things, Bill. In fact, on the way here, I don't know if you were listening to the Huckabee show. They played some sort of like a jingle, you know, directed against Ted Cruz, kind of mocking him, using a Rolling Stones song theme. So, you know, there's lots of people who are saying it can't be done. But, you know, my dad taught me a long time ago in sales, Bill. Mm-hmm. If you don't ask, you'll never get the sale. And you know, politics is a little different than selling. But if you don't stand up for something, you know, then where do you go from there? And that's what's happening here. The Republicans have capitulated, and I think that's a fair word to use, several times, whether it's the debt limit and on continuing resolutions. And I think finally they've said, hey, enough. We're going to go at it from this direction and let the chips fall where they may. And I'm frankly kind of excited at the prospect of a Senate filibuster, to tell you the truth.
Well, what about shutting down the government, Jeff Rogers? Who do you think people are going to blame?
Well, the polling seems to suggest that they will blame the Republicans. And the polling has shown that all along throughout this process. But there's several things to consider here. One of the things is that you know, the president is never going to sign, nor is the Senate going to pass anything which defunds Obamacare. And, you know, the other thing to remember is the Affordable Care Act, many of its parts of it will go into effect whether there's funding of it or not. For instance, the Medicaid expansion doesn't require any funding from the government because that's in what we call untouchable money, non-discretionary mandatory spending. We'll fund that no matter what. The insurance exchanges don't need Congress funding them, and the tax credits that will go into effect don't require that, as well as the individual mandate doesn't require any kind of funding. So to think that there's that that the small parts of it that are included in discretionary funding by the United States Congress, that will somehow kill it is totally absurd. And not only that, but I was really moved by former Republican Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire yesterday, who was on one of the talk shows and said that he thought that this was the Republicans basically playing Russian roulette with all chambers loaded in the gun. So, you know, this is just a ridiculous thing to do. We need to be responsible about governance. And if this is going to turn out so bad, the Affordable Care Act, why don't the Republicans just let it take effect and run on it next year in the election and say, look how bad this is, and then use that to gain the Senate and increase their margins in the House? I think what they're really thinking here is if we let this thing go into effect, people are going to say, look how wonderful this is. We don't want to get rid of it.
Bruce Ash.
That's wishful thinking. There actually was another Republican, a former House member from Louisiana, who said the same thing about all five bullets being in the gun. There certainly is risk that's involved here. There's risk in anything like this. But if Obamacare was such a great thing, Jeff and Bill, I wonder why the president has deferred so many parts of it.
Well, he's only deferred one main part of it, and that was the employer mandate for people with over 50 employees.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty big thing.
Well, and the business community was having trouble coming up with the right kind of regulations for that. So I think that he listened to businesses and said, look, this is a problem that we can put off for 1 year, whereas there are other parts of it he said, no, there's not going to be any delay.
And you're right about that, Jeff. However, the AFL-CIO has demanded that Obamacare be fixed because they feel that there are significant problems that they have negotiated for on behalf of their union members for a long, long time. And they feel that this is several steps back. Another thing that I think Congress or the Republicans in Congress may do, I hope they do, is stand up about subsidies for congressional members and their staffs. Frankly, senators, representatives, members of their staff, White House staff, they all ought to be in the same position that the rest of America is when faced with their health care choices. It's not like Obamacare was passed in a bipartisan fashion the way Social Security and Medicare was, you know, so many decades ago. This was a very deeply divided vote, and it was sort of one that was won on parliamentary procedure
That's why we can't fix some of the things that are problems with it. Admittedly, there are little fixes that need to be done here and there, but we got to have a playing partner in order to get those fixes done. And when all the Republicans
two playing partners.
Right, well, we, the Democrats, need another partner, and we need the Republicans to step up and say, okay, we realize we're not going to wipe this program out unless we take control of all three branches of the government. So therefore, you know, we will help you fix these things that are unexpectedly causing some problems along the way. But when all the Republicans do is say, no, we're going to defund it, we won't fix this, we won't fix that, we won't fix this, we're going to vote to defund it, that's the only thing we'll do.
Well, Jeff, there have been several proposals that have been made to the president by members of Congress and by members of the Republican Party leadership that have been rejected on their face by the president. The president is, I wouldn't call him a tough negotiator, he's just a one-sided negotiator. And we see that on a variety of different things, except when it comes to negotiating maybe with Vladimir Putin about what's going on in Syria.
I'm glad to see that he's taking a very firm stance on this, and that he's just basically saying we're not going to use this as a negotiating tactic, either for shutting down the government or for raising the debt.
We all know the government's really not going to be shut down. The Social Security checks are going out. The debt service.
Well, it's a little bit more than symbolic here.
Yeah. I mean, national parks.
National parks, Veterans Affairs, Veterans benefits can be held up. There are lots
they're
of things that happened.
They're not going to be held up.
A lot of these things happened the last time we went through this in 94 and 95, and we saw the Republicans paid somewhat of a price for that.
They're not going to be held up. The legislation that's been passed in the House specifically declares that they can't do that. That's a typical thing that that party in power, whether it's city right up to federal levels, try to do. They try to say, well, you know, if this happens, we're going to lose our policemen and we're going to lose our firemen, or, you know, the national parks aren't going to open. I mean, you know, really, I have a son who works at the FAA. I think he does pretty important work there. Whether Matthew shows up the day after tomorrow to go to work or not, the American people aren't going to know it one way or another. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots of federal employees where it's the same exact thing.
All right. Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers with us. Congressman Grijalva has announced a new immigration reform proposal, Bruce Ash, and this comes, well, people are just not focusing on immigration. It's a back burner issue, isn't it?
Well, it is today. We have today, so many other things that are going on. I doubt that there's going to be any kind of an immigration fix. As you know, I'm sure Jeff knows, I had authored a resolution at the RNC that
Republican National Committee, yes.
That I hoped might be a political solution for both parties, mm-hmm. One that did clearly show compromise and get a resolution to this a matter. Congressman Grijalva's bill is dead even before it arrives. It's not going to get heard, and frankly, in some respects, Jeff, I don't even think it's as good a bill as what's been passed by the Gang of Eight in the Senate.
Well, I think it's a lot better, but it's not realistic. The Gang of Eight in the Senate, did something. There was a lot of realistic compromise. There were things in there like throwing all that money at the border, and militarization of the border, which is unnecessary. And obviously, Grijalva's bill doesn't go that far with the 700 miles of fencing and with 19,000 new Border Patrol agents who are already falling all over themselves at the border. But I would agree with you on one thing. This is dead on arrival. I mean, it's not going to get a hearing in the House. It's really just a statement of how he and many other people feel about what would be the right kind of legislation to pass. But I agree that it doesn't have a chance. And even though there are some draconian parts of the Gang of Eight bill from the Senate, I thought it looked like the kind of bill where everybody got their ox gored a little bit. It's kind of like a negotiation between lawyers and their clients when you have a big civil suit. We always say that the perfect solution is when everybody leaves the room unhappy, but they settled the case.
All right, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. It's our Monday political face-off. Bruce Ash is here and Jeff Rogers will continue with the Buckmaster Show Monday edition and the face-off right after this.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. If you have any kind of framing needs, there should be no question in your mind where to go. Moe and his family will take care of you. I guarantee it. It will be a product that you will be very proud of after Moe and his family are finished with it. Jeff Rogers is here and Bruce Ash. It's our team of the Monday Political Face-Off commentators. Jeff's a Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Bruce is Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Jeff, what do you think of the suit, the Goldwater Institute, joining with several dozen Republican lawmakers in stopping the Medicaid expansion? From a legal point of view, I asked you to look into it over the weekend. What'd you come up with?
Well, there's two things to look at. First off, the language of the Constitution, which came from Proposition 108, talks about you need 3/4 of the vote legislature to pass anything that results in a net increase in state revenues.
3/4 or 2/3?
It's 3/4. And it said oh, no, that's to override the governors. It's 2/3. And then but the problem with it is that it then defines what are revenue enhancers that are going to be illegal. And it says the imposition of any new state fee or assessment or the authorization of any new administratively set fee. So that would seem to say that this is unconstitutional unless it's passed by 2/3. But then it goes on in another section to say this section does not apply to fees and assessments that are authorized by statute, which this is, but are not prescribed by formula, amount, or limit, and are set by a state officer or agency. Here would be the Department of Health Services. So I think it's going to be difficult for the court to figure out where they're going to go with that. But here's where the real problem might exist. You have to have, generally speaking, standing to bring a lawsuit. And that means you have to have suffered some kind of harm. So the ideal plaintiff here would be a hospital or medical organization that is being assessed this fee or tax. Well, what they did was anyone who was opposed to it, such as a couple of hospitals in Scottsdale area, they wrote them out of the bill. So all of the hospitals, medical organizations that are going to be subject to this fee are in agreement with the fee, so none of them are going to sue. So you've now got basically the Goldwater Institute and some lawmakers and 3 private citizens saying they are somehow harmed. Well, in fact, they don't suffer a harm. In fact, what they suffer is they're disappointed with the outcome, and they feel philosophically disagree with it, and they feel like they're we're in the minority, and somehow their rights were overlooked. But the actual harm that they suffered is not a legal kind of harm. Now, standing is something that's absolutely required in a federal lawsuit. It's not absolutely required in a state lawsuit. In a state lawsuit, it is something that the courts can say this is an important enough issue, we'll ignore that. But usually they follow the federal law on standing. So I think that might be how the court ends up resolving it.
Bruce Ash, your opinion?
As members of the legislature and citizens of the state of Arizona, they will be harmed if there's a problem later on when federal funding goes away, as it probably will to some degree or entirely. There are lots of folks who feel that while the expansion of the Medicaid system is a good thing to do, that it is a careless thing to do in view of our volatile state revenues. I'm not going to make a legal judgment. I'm just a stupid property manager who's playing a politician's party guy today. I certainly trust Jeff's legal judgment and his expertise, but I think even Jeff admits that there may be a case for standing for the people who are plaintiffs in the lawsuit. And I wish that the lawsuit had come before the attempt for petitions. And because I think that overall there's a possibility a lawsuit may be somewhat jaundiced by the fact that the petitions failed, and in this case they weren't even turned in,
right.
Had this lawsuit come before, I think that would have been a little more ideal for it. I question how far it's going to get, not because I doubt Clint Bolick and his crew up at the Goldwater Institute are pretty good lawyers, but just because of all of the news events of the last month. And while I'm here, I need to say something. There are some legislative districts, Republican legislative districts, who on top of all of the other finger pointing and name calling that's gone on for the last several months over this Medicaid expansion, did what I think is the unthinkable over the weekend. And one of them right here in Tucson, Arizona, LD-10, passed a resolution censuring Governor Brewer and the Republicans who voted for the Medicaid expansion, for crying out loud. Okay, I'm in my heart, I'm with everybody who's bummed out about how this thing turned out. But stop it already. This is just, beating the horse that's already been dead now for 3 months. Let Clint Bolick and the Goldwater Institute fellows and gals do their job. Let's move on with life. That's why we have elections to the state legislature every 2 years.
Well, and I saw where the Yavapai County Republican Party voted 59-50 to do the same thing. And so I think it shows you that there's a large element within the Republican Party that disagrees with Bruce about this, and most of it is what I call the sort of business chamber of commerce types of Republicans. They disagree with sort of what we would call maybe the base and the volunteers on this issue because they think it's economically the right thing to do for Arizona. I think it is that as well as the morally right thing to do.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to make Jeff's argument, but when you look at the number of people, and I'm going to be specific to LE10 and really even to the Yavapai County vote, whether it's the 59 people who voted for this or the 18 people who voted in Legislative District 10, it's like, one-tenth of 1% of all right. The Republicans, within mm-hmm. those political jurisdictions. And they don't speak for everybody. And I think for me, and it's not just because I'm a party official, I just want the name-calling to stop. I want us to get on with business. We have a session that starts in, three and a half months or so. Let's get down to the business of the next session and make sure that we pass laws that are going to be in the best interest of all Arizonans.
But this is just tearing your party apart, isn't it, locally?
Well, I think it's a bad thing.
Statewide.
It's a bad thing for the political machinery in total, not just for Republicans. There's a fair amount of fighting within the Democratic Party as well. We're not the only ones, but the Democrats certainly aren't immune either.
Well, we're not immune either, but I think like the Republicans and the Democrats, both our bases and our grassroots supporters and the hard workers that we depend on a daily basis, are a little bit to the left and right of the mainstream of both parties. And that's just typical for the state of America right now. But unfortunately for the Republicans, it's so devastating because, like we're talking about this shutdown, you know, you've got the adult, the people who used to be the adults in the room, John Boehner and Senator McConnell, that are afraid of their base now. They're afraid of getting primary. Boehner's House leadership position is perhaps in peril if he doesn't, warm up to the Tea Party parts of his own caucus. So, you know, it's pretty divisive right now in the Republican Party.
All right. Jeff Rogers, Bruce Ash, thank you both very much for being with us. Hope you have a great week, both of you.
Thank you, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. You'll be very pleased when you go by Moe's, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition, we'll be speaking with Damian Klenko of the Tucson Preservation, Historic Preservation Foundation, about Modernist Week, which is coming up. We'll find out what that's all about. And then Mark Sykes will be with us from the Planetary Science Institute. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says the U.S. stands with Kenya against what he calls the terrible outrage of that shopping mall terrorist attack that left more than 60 people dead. The IRS says an official at the center of the agency's Tea Party scandal is retiring. Lois Lerner headed the IRS division that handles applications for tax-exempt status when she was placed on paid leave in May. BlackBerry has agreed to sell itself to a group led by its largest shareholder, the price, $4.7 billion. Shares in BlackBerry had plunged on Friday after the company announced a loss of almost $1 billion and the layoff of 4,500 workers. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 62 points, the NASDAQ is off 12, and the S&P 9 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. Feeling a little bit more energized after that nice cool morning today, the first cool morning of the season. The Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation is presenting Tucson Modernist Week. It's a weekend that's going to be filled with a lot of fun. It's October 4th, 5th, and 6th. Series of programs, films, lectures, events highlighting and celebrating Tucson's modern design and architecture with special attention to some modernist buildings along Broadway between Country Club and Campbell. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Damian Klinko. Damian is president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Damian, good to see you.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the genesis for this Modernist Week.
Well, so modernism is a really important part of Tucson's history. Tucson had its sort of big boom and growth spurt after World War II, when modern design and architecture was so prevalent throughout the United States. And, you know, in 1930, the population in Tucson was about 30,000. And by 1960, it was 225,000. So Tucson's transformative years were really our modernist era.
And where did the modernist movement begin? What part of the country?
So modernism is really a European movement that really came out of the Bauhaus. It was a departure from these revival styles to clean design that really engaged and celebrated function and matched form. And in the U.S., after World War II, we saw a huge surge in modern design in everything from toasters to buildings.
And what is the epicenter, Damian, for modernism in Tucson?
Well, for modernism in Tucson, it really was Broadway Boulevard and the East Side and sort of this expansion outwards from downtown. You sort of had this wonderful core of our community, Armory Park and West University, that really were the pre-World War II neighborhoods. And after World War II, as the population began to surge, there was all of this new housing, and it marched eastward in our city. So all of the wonderful suburbs with their cul-de-sacs and the major arterials really were the epicenter of Tucson modernism.
Let's talk about some specific buildings that might give our listeners an idea of what you would consider kind of quintessential modernist buildings for Tucson.
Well, I think one of the great mid-century modern buildings in our city is the 1971 Friedman and Joe Bush designed Valley National Bank building on the corner of Broadway and Country Club. That building integrated sculpture designed by Philip Sanderson and really raises that building to art. It's so beautiful, it's iconic, and it's quintessential Tucson modernism.
How about what do you have planned for this week?
So we have a ton of different events.
I know, I've got them in front of me. And we're going to have to hit just a few because of the time, some of the highlights, but let's try to plow through some of this.
Absolutely. So our goal as part of Modernism Week is to really get the community excited and educate them about our mid-century modern heritage. So starting on Thursday, October 3rd through Sunday, October 6th, we have over a dozen events. The bulk of these events are free. You can find out more on our website, specifically for this event, TucsonMod.com. But so on Thursday, we start the entire week off with a fantastic mid-century modern cocktail party at a home designed by Charles Cox. This is a ticketed event, but it's a great way to intimately see an incredible architectural expression. Cox was a disciple of Frank Lloyd Wright, and his work and this house, which he built for himself, is all based on the triangle. So it's a really dynamic and interesting.
What area is the house located?
It's up in the foothills, and it's a really beautiful, beautiful place.
All right.
On Friday, One of our each year we try to bring in an icon architect who worked in Tucson during the mid-century modern era, and we're really proud this year to present Edward Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Nelson was an architect who designed buildings all over the city of Tucson, including the Tucson Music Hall and the Leo Rich Theater. He's 95, and he's going to be having a conversation with Chris Evans of the Mid-Century Modern Architecture Preservation Project. And
what's the venue for that, Damien?
So that is located at the Intermountain Academy, which is at 555 South Tucson Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Then the best way for folks to check out the full all the venues is TucsonMod.com.
TucsonMod.com.
Okay. So moving on, Saturday?
So if you're into mid-century modern furniture, we have incredible mid-century modern design showcase. Dealers from around the state are coming together to show their best mid-century modern furniture. If you love mid-century modern furniture design, Herman Miller is sending Adam Call from Chicago, who is one of the collection specialists for the Herman Miller Company, to talk about their classics and the impact that George Nelson played in American design. We have two films that we're showing in partnership with The Loft, a film about Paolo Solari, the architect who designed Arcosanti.
I interviewed him many, many years ago, 1970, up at Arcosanti.
And Paolo Solari passed away this year, and so this film we're showing at The Loft at 1 o'clock. We'll include the filmmaker. And on Sunday, as part of our home tour, the Paolo Solari Design Chapel in Tucson is actually featured on that home tour, and that's a chapel that's not really open to the public.
Yeah, I was wondering, you're telling me something I'm learning here for the first time. I didn't know there was a Paolo Solari chapel in Tucson. You're saying it's part of a private home?
So it's actually part of the UMC complex, and it was originally commissioned as part of the Cancer Center. And when the Cancer Center went through a redesign, it became part of the offices. So it's not generally open to the public, but it'll be open to the public during the home tour on Sunday, October 6th from 9 to 1. And it's an incredible space and really something remarkable.
The home tour will be – where will that
– So the home tour is all over the city. Okay. It's all over the city. It features – we partnered with the Arizona Institute of – the Arizona chapter of the American Institute of Architects to present this home tour. So there are 8 houses on this tour, 5 of which are historic and 3 which are contemporary. And then it also includes a ticket to our vintage trailer show this year. So this year we're bringing together a dozen
Airstreams.
Airstreams and canned hams and all sorts of different types of wonderful restored trailers. And that'll be part of the home tour. Or you can see that on Saturday for just $10.
Is this going to be – this is an annual event then, the Modernist Week?
This is becoming an annual event. Modernism –
Last year was the first year?
Last year was the first year. We had about 2,500 people attend all of the events. Mm-hmm. So this year, there's almost nothing that's repeated from last year.
Wow. It's very ambitious schedule.
It's a very ambitious schedule. And it really, I think, speaks to how wonderful and how many resources there are in our community about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So
there are different venues. There's no real central location. Is that correct?
Well, the closest to a central location we have is the Juan Warner designed building, Broadway Murphy Building, which is where Table Talk used to be located on Broadway and Country Club. And that's our central information booth. And we also have a Max Gottschalk exhibit there. He was a mid-century modern furniture designer who taught at Pima College and designed some really innovative furniture. And so we have an exhibit of his work there.
The mid-century marketplace and expo that goes
exactly
all day Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and along with the furniture exhibit.
Yes. That's at that location. Now, we also have two free receptions. One is at the Valley National Bank, the Chase Bank, on the corner of Country Club and Broadway on Friday night.
I like that structure.
It's a great structure, and it's amazing to come and see it at night in sort of a party venue. It should be a really, really fun event, and there will be free gelato provided by the Cashew Cow.
Okay, so we have a couple of websites for folks. First, the Tucson Mod, MOD.com. That's got everything you need to know about Tucson Modernist Week. And then we also your main website.
Yes, our main website, which is preservetucson.org.
And folks who would like to be, who love history and they love the community, they can become members, right, Damien?
It's easy to become members. You just a quick click, and enter some information, and you can become a member of the Preservation Foundation. And we offer programming and events throughout the years, throughout the year, and you know, we have this great membership benefits.
And a lot of people know you from the wonderful work of the fixing up our wonderful neon signs on the Miracle Mile, and you're to be congratulated, Damien, for everything you have done, not only with Tucson Modernist Week, but with the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Damien Klenko, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, coming up now on 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, we will be right back with Dr. Mark Sykes. We're going to talk space. That's next.
It's Mariachi Fiesta with Los Changuitos Feos, the original mariachi youth group. Saturday, September 28th at La Posada on Oracle. Browse the art show, stay for dinner and the concert, and support scholarships. Saturday, September 28th at La Posada on Oracle. For tax-deductible tickets, call 820-8121.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights under the glowing glass of brilliant light. Starting Saturday, September 28th, a first-time-ever five-straight Saturday night premiere. An exciting family adventure with activities that promote more curiosity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admissions. Kids 12 and under, also free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL, and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
We'll be right back.
Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great getaway. Just, what, only three and a half hours east of Tucson. And I would venture to say, after all the rain they've had over there in New Mexico, that it's a lot greener than it is even over here in Tucson. Lots to do, including the Southwest Festival of the Written Word is this weekend in historic Silver City. Lots of places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Spirit Canyon Lodge, and Silver City KOA. You can find out more by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Well, an American expedition to Mars is the holy grail of U.S. human spaceflight, but more than a half century after the dawn of the space age, the reality is NASA is a no-go, at least for now. Well, so writes Todd Halverson in USA Today over the weekend. Let's find out what Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 41st year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Let's find out what Dr. Sykes says about that declarative sentence.
Nah. No, there was a measurement made by the Curiosity spacecraft that there is a lot of radiation accumulation of the course there, that it exceeded NASA's recommended dose in terms
that would
of,
expose,
you know, lifetime
cancerous lethal levels of space radiation.
Right, but there's ways of mitigating against that. You know, there might be some medical ways, but also if we were able to build craft that say put a small shield of water around the outside, that would help to protect against a lot of that radiation. So, but then of course that increases the mass, hence the expense and everything else of sending a mission to Mars. So it is a factor that needs to be taken into consideration. It's not the death knell. I'd say a more important issue is just to figure out what we're going to do if we go to Mars. So,
do you think in the golden age of exploration with people like Columbus and Magellan, there were probably a lot of people who said, you know, that's a really dangerous thing to be heading off there into the unknown. You know, you could die.
They knew it was dangerous, but they're going for the gold and the spices. You know, they weren't going for, you know, existential dreams or poetry. They wanted to gain some real economic benefit out of it.
So you're saying these problems can be overcome?
Yeah. I think that they're not insurmountable.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us, and Mark is the NASA. Are you the soon to be former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group?
I am now the past chair.
One more year. So I need to.
I'm much relieved.
Past chair. And you have been very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. But I want to talk a little bit more about, we heard that Deep Impact, that mission now is no, speaking of go and no go, a no go.
Well, it's not a no-go. It went and gone, and now it's done.
But it's
been a great little mission. It was the mission that on July 4th, several years ago, put the impactor into a comet, Tipple 1. And then after watching that event and studying the surface of that comet, it was able to go on and fly by a second comet that was unplanned at the beginning of IL-2. And so it really and even up until recently, it was making remote observations of Comet Ison that's going to mm-hmm. be coming here this Christmas to a sky near you. and so it was very, very much a little engine that could.
But it's like
about a month ago, they lost communication with it. And they've decided as of Friday that they can't regain because it's just.
But it was a success.
It was a great success. Yeah. It did far more than was planned. So the taxpayer got more bang for their buck.
Well, the NASA rover known as Curiosity still keeps roving around on the red planet. Mm-hmm. And the latest discovery is, I guess, a non-discovery. No signs of methane in the atmosphere of Mars.
Yeah, this was kind of a surprise or perhaps a disappointment in some quarters because a couple of years ago, there was the report of methane detected from ground-based telescopes in the Martian atmosphere. The importance of that is that that is a possible indicator of life, not just cows. And, you know, but there's some microbes that produce methane. And so more people started to detect methane up there. But these were all very low signal-to-noise observations. They're kind of like, yeah, we could kind of, if we squint sideways, we're seeing something here. And so the Mars Curiosity Laboratory, or the Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity, made these very precise measurements that at a far better precision than the previous measurements, found nothing. And, set a much lower detection threshold. And so, that raises the question, so now people are saying, well, gosh, does that mean Mars is dead?
Yeah, that's the question.
And the answer to that is, well, we don't know, because when you look at microbial life on the Earth, there's only a small fraction of it that's giving off the methane. So that doesn't mean there couldn't be other analogous non-methane generating life on Mars, and so we still need to kind of follow the water up there and see if there's any bugs today.
In that story that the AP did on this issue of the methane, they quoted a Bill Nye, the chief executive of the Planetary Society, a space advocacy group. Is that like Bill Nye, the science guy?
That is Bill Nye,
the science guy.
Yes.
And he says, suppose you're an alien coming to Earth and you landed in the Four Corners area, would you feel as if you've been exploring Earth? In other words, he's saying that just because the rover didn't find the methane in that one particular area.
Well, no, it was a very good non-detection, because the level of methane that had been detected or suggested before, it mixes in the atmosphere, the whole global atmosphere, on timescales of months. And then, under the mechanisms that we understand, photodissociation and such, that it takes about 100 years for that methane to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So if those observations had actually been detecting 3 to 4 times as much methane as what they set their limit at previously, year or more previously, then that stuff should still be around in the atmosphere if it was really there. And so now,
so this, even this sample of the atmosphere at this particular location on Mars is extremely important, is what
yes,
you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. Now, maybe there's another mechanism. Maybe there's something with the soil. There's some not Earth-like chemistry up there with perchlorates and other strange things in the soils but it would have to be a sink for methane that would be 100 times more efficient than the mechanisms that we're aware of. Maybe that's the case, but now we have to investigate that. And also, see if there's life up there, then it would be probably of the non-methane generating type, so no cows.
And the life would probably be underground. Is that, if there are living things on Mars, would the life be underground?
It'd pretty much have to be, because the surface environment with the UV radiation and such is just too harsh to sustain at least life as we know it on Earth. And so if there are warmer environments with some access to water beneath the surface, then that's where we would have to look for life.
Mark Sykes is with us. Dr. Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute. There was another story that caught my eye that I would like you to comment about. NASA identifying 3 asteroids for potential capture. So I guess they have narrowed the hunt for an asteroid to capture. Is that a big deal or what?
Not really, because those asteroids were from a list that I saw at the Target Neo2 workshop, and they haven't been characterized yet, and they can't really
vetted.
They haven't been vetted yet, and they can't be on the time scales that would be required for when they want to launch this mission. So those were an example of a story where things get repeated, but the conditionals kind of go away. It's like if they were discovered at the right time, and if we could have, determined their size and their mass and such, then they would be candidate targets to send this thing to. But that doesn't mean that they are actual options for us to send something to. We don't have any targets for that mission at this time.
Would we be sending a robotic spacecraft to capture the asteroid? Is that the plan?
Yes, yes, yes. It's really not very well planned. They say that it's going to cost $200 million more than to bring back 500 metric tons of rock to lunar orbit than it's taking the U of A to bring back 60 grams of near-Earth asteroid material to the Earth.
Talk about a work in progress.
Yeah. There's some issues with this whole project right now.
Mark Sykes, thank you very much. People can find out more about the Planetary Science Institute. I do recommend it. I'm a member. psi.edu.
I got it.
All right.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. And by the way, Mark Sykes also does some baking. He brought in some of the most really, what do you call that? Deep chocolate
cookies of chocolate death.
Oh, my goodness. That was enough to make me break my diet, at least for one of those cookies. It was pretty good. Rose, huh? Very good. Excellent. John C. Scott Show this afternoon, 3 to 5 here on KVOI. Then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great start to the week. We'll be back with you at 12:04 Tuesday afternoon. Have a great week.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.